So I'm going to be doing a little series leading us up to Christmas Eve on Christmas carols. And I had studied this a little while ago, and I thought, what a better time to bring in the Christmas carols and really learn about some things and see what the Word says about that. Amen. So we're going to be focusing this morning on the Christmas carol, O Holy Night. And if I could sing for you, I would, but I can't, so we're going to leave that to the amazing singers that we have. But I want to give you a little context on where this song originated, because we sing it all the time, but I really never knew where it came from, and so I did a little research on it, and I want to share it with you this morning. So the context of the history of this song, O Holy Night, it was written in the mid-1800s, and there was a parish priest, a clergyman, that came, and he went to a well-known poet, and the poet's name was Placide Capot. He's French, and this was in France at the time, and he said, I would love for you to write a poem for our Christmas services, our Christmas Mass. Now, what's interesting about this poet is he didn't know the Lord. He was semi-part of the church, but he was known as a hellion, and so for the priest to go and ask this particular gentleman was quite interesting, and so this well-known poet said, yes, I would love to write a poem for the Christmas Mass, and so he did, and he said the only way he could get inspiration is he went to the Bible, and he took the poem, scripture, out of Luke chapter 2. Isn't that interesting? And he began to pen this poem that we know, and that poem became so popular, and he himself was so in love with the poem that he said it needs to be more than just a poem. This needs to have music written to it. So he went to a good friend of his who was a well-known musician, very well-known. He wrote for orchestras and all of that, and he said, would you mind writing music to the poem that I have written? And so his famous musician, who was Jewish, who didn't believe in the Messiah as we believe in the Messiah or celebrate Christmas, he decided he would write the music to O Holy Night. And this became the infamous song that we sing to this day. And this song became so popular in its day that the Catholic Church realized, as they had been singing in all the masses, the people who actually wrote the poems and wrote the music. And because they weren't part of the local church, they tried to stop the frenzy of this song. And so for two centuries, they were not allowed to sing it in the Catholic Church any longer. But how many know you can't stop the Word of God? Because they wrote the Word of God. And so this song is still here today. And so they begin to sing this song, and the people at home continued to sing the song, even though the church would not sing the song any longer. Well, fast forward in 1906, there was a man named Reginald Fessenden. And he was the man, he's called the father of the radio. And he was a 33-year-old professor. And he did one of the most impossible things that I've never done before. He created a generator that created the audible voice to go out into the airwaves, known as the radio today. And so the first chance that he got to turn it on and send out into the airwaves, he read Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Across the airways it was, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And for the first time ever in history, the story of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, was sent into the airways. And not only did he read the story, but after he was done reading the scripture, he took his violin out and he played the violin to O Holy Night. And there was men that were on ships all over. They had never heard a voice come through the radio with the gospel. And all of a sudden, they're hearing the birth story of Jesus Christ. And they're hearing the song of O Holy Night. Isn't that beautiful? Such a powerful story. And so that's where we get this from. And so I believe that there is something special happening. And in my home, one of my favorite things to do, and I've designated it to Samaya since she was a little girl, I love having the manger scene set up and nativity scene set up in my home. I used to have little ones. We're graduating to bigger ones. But that has always been Samaya's job. There's just something beautiful about setting them. I don't know if she likes it anymore. She is a teenager, but she does it anyway. Hallelujah. Because she knows her Gigi likes it done. And so she does it for me. And so there's just something beautiful, you know, about the manger scene. But if you go back to that day, like we paint this beautiful picture, and it is wonderful, the story and the birth of Jesus. But I kind of, if you look at each little working part of it, it was maybe a chaotic moment. You know, here she is, a teenage girl, pregnant, full pregnant, riding on a donkey. Come on, women. Give a, that's in it in itself, you know, in the middle of the night with her teenage husband, you know, or fiance, you know, walking her in. There's no place to stay. All the doors are shut, right? There's no place that she can lay her head down, and she maybe has to find a cave to go give birth to her child. Now, we know he's the Messiah, but just think about in the middle of that moment, it could have been chaotic for her. You know, maybe every door that she visited and was shut might have had some disappointment on it. And you're like, not Mother Mary. She's super holy. Well, she was just a teenager, people, right? She was just a human being. And so maybe she faced some disappointments, or maybe she was worried about where she would have this baby and where this baby would be born, especially this promised child. And maybe there was some fear. And so I'm just trying to paint a picture that in the middle of this beautiful story, you might find some chaos. And where you're at in your life and the world that we're living in, you might find some chaos. You might find some things that we're struggling with today. If you're breathing air, there are some things that we might be struggling with today, whether it's finances or our marriage or our children or whatever it is. And I want to give you the message of hope today that Jesus is there in the middle of your chaos. And he can turn your sorrows into joy. Amen. And he can redeem a broken moment and give you hope. And that's the Jesus that we're celebrating, not just this month. We get to highlight him this month, but every day of our life, we get to celebrate Jesus, who gives us hope, gives us joy, gives us peace, heals us, delivers us, and restores us. Aren't we excited? We serve an amazing Savior. So we're going to look at a little bit of this song, and I'm not going to try to get preachy because I won't get through it. But the words say this: a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And I want to look at two words there and just talk about it for just a minute, is the weary world. I believe there is a spirit of heaviness in the world today. I believe that not only do we have natural things that we're looking at and facing, but I believe the enemy has sent a heaviness over the world today to put a weight on our shoulders to cause us to grow weary and want to quit and want to give up, or grow weary in our faith and maybe settle with just enough and not more than enough. Maybe you're just about to cross the finish line, but weariness causes you to stay just on the other side instead of pressing in. There's a weariness that happens. There's an overwhelming that comes. And maybe you love God today, and I believe you do because you're here today, but maybe you're tired. You know, you can love God and still be tired. And maybe you're faithful to God and you're serving God and you're giving or in the capacity of being faithful to God, but you're still tired. I'm talking about the weariness of our soul, that we can't keep going on with the weariness on the inside of us to experience the goodness that God has for us. We have to recognize that I'm doing the right things, but I'm tired. Maybe you're trying to be so hopeful. You're like, Pastor Barb, you say the word hope, and I want to believe it, but I'm just tired. My weary soul is having a problem in this moment. I know many of you are struggling. You're fighting to keep your head above water, you know, paying the bills and managing the budget or having your children serve the Lord or your companies, whatever it is. There's things that we're wrestling with, and you feel like you're just trying to keep your head above water. But what's so beautiful about the rest of this song in Scripture is the song says, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. There's a thrill of hope that should come up on the inside of you. The moment that Jesus was born, he had been prophesied for generations, and they waited in hopeful moment of the Savior to be born. Like, maybe this will be the day the Savior will be born and everything will change. See, the moment Jesus comes into your life and into your world, things begin to change. But they were waiting centuries, generations for this coming of the birth of this baby. And when they saw him, there was a thrill of hope in their weary world. God wants to give you a thrill of hope. One moment when Jesus was born, it changed everything. Say one night. One night can change your life. You may have been going through it for a while. One night can change your life. One moment of Jesus showing up on the scene will change everything. It said, suddenly the weary world rejoices. There's a moment when Jesus shows up that the world will begin to rejoice. The thrill of hope. And that's my prayer for you today. That wherever you find yourself in any weariness, mentally, physically, emotionally, that God is going to deposit hope into your weary soul today. Hope is the anchor of your soul. Hope keeps you hanging on. Hope gives you vision. Hope gives you dreams. Hope gives you joy. And without hope, you cannot see the miracle of God. You will drown without hope. You will lose it all without hope. You will walk away from the greatest thing that's right in front of you because you've lost your hope. Even in the chaos, God will show up. I want to think about that holy night when Jesus was born. It's so powerful. And yes, we need to focus on that. It's beautiful. But guess what? It's really about the next day when the sun came up. You may be in a dark moment, listen, but the sun is going to rise tomorrow. The sun came up the next day Jesus was born. Psalms, tears may endear for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Listen, you may be in a hopeless situation, but joy comes in the morning. It's time for us to dry up our tears. It's time to get back into faith and say, I need the thrill of hope, God. I need the thrill of joy in the morning that me and my household shall be saved. I'll be blessed in the city. I'm going to be blessed in the field. My body is the healed of the Lord. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm blessed when I come in. I'm blessed when I go out. That's the thrill of hope. So my weary soul, what? Rejoices. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray over you right now. Father God, I speak the thrill of hope over every person in this room. I thank God that you deposit hope into their weary soul. God, I thank you for an outpouring of your anointing and your Holy Spirit into the areas that they're weary and they're tired and they're working their own agenda and their own plan. And I speak the grace of God in that situation. I speak grace into their families, grace into their finances, God, grace into their bodies and their marriages and their families in the name of Jesus, God. The thrill of hope to be ignited like a fire on the inside of them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everything can be different in your life because one day with Jesus changes everything. But I'm going to share that this morning. A new and glorious morning is what he has promised us. Tomorrow will be a new and glorious morning. I already feel it in the atmosphere of faith. I'm telling you, it's already happening for you. God's already moving on your behalf. I hear the Lord say he's making a way where there seems to be no way. I hear the Lord say, I'm going to some children and I'm going to move by my spirit to some of your kids. And I hear the Lord say, I'm bringing them in and I'm moving them in and I'm breaking the deception of the enemy. God is moving by his spirit. Because it's a new and glorious morning. Not mourning in sorrow, but the sun is shining. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to go back and look at Lamentations, and we're going to look a little bit into these verses to tie into this beautiful song. But in this part of Lamentations 3, we're going to look at was the fall of Jerusalem at that time, 586 BC, and the prophet Jeremiah is writing this. And Lamentations was all about being distraught. It was lamenting. There was sin in the nation, and it was a cry for repentance. There was an overwhelmingness about this book. But what I want to look at in this chapter is in the middle of him being overwhelmed and lamenting, he found hope and faith. And in the middle of whatever you're weary about or you're lamenting about, there is hope in that situation. And so in verse 20, it says this, I well remember them. My soul is downcast within me. That word downcast, it means despondent, but that word downcast also means looking downward. See, we can see our situation and we're looking downward. We're looking at the disappointment. We're looking at how can God do it? How can I pay my bills? How is this going to be restored? How can I get my joy back? And we're constantly looking down in despondent. He said, I'm so downcast within me. And what I love about Jeremiah here, he didn't fake it. He didn't sweep it under the carpet. There are things that have made us downcast. Every one of us in this room has faced situations or might be right in the middle of it that our heart is downcast within us. And we can't see hope and we can't find joy and we can't find peace. No, we don't stay there, but you need to get real. He didn't ignore the fact that he was facing a life-altering difficulty. Don't ignore it, because ignoring it does not move faith. Acknowledging it in the grace of God ignites faith on the inside of you to get on the other side of this opposition in your life. So he said, I'm so downcast, God. I'm going through it, God. I'm going to get real with you. There's been times I have had my face planted in my carpet. And God, I don't understand. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where the breakthrough is. I'm so downcast, God. But in verse 20, 21, he said, yet this I call to mind. What was he saying? There's some stuff I'm going through, but it's in the back of my mind. It's not in the forefront of my mind. And there are things that you have to do with God that you better get to the front of your mind. You better get it in front of you. I'm going to put hope in front of me. I'm going to put the word of God in front of me. I'm going to activate faith. I'm going to call to mind. What does that mean? It reminded me of the scripture when Jesus said, look unto me. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. What does that mean? I'm so downcast, God, but I'm looking up to you. I'm so downcast, God. It's broken, but I'm looking up to you. What am I doing? I'm putting in front of me the hope of God and his word that never fails. It never returns void. We get so customary to being downcast. I'm looking at the negative. I'm looking at the opposition. Is it a reality? Yeah, there's like 10 bucks left in my account, God, but I'm looking unto Jesus. He's my provider. He gives me favor. He promotes me. Money comes in from the north, south, east, and west unexpectedly. Why? Because I'm looking unto Jesus. I'm not downcast like the world. I'm lifted up into heavenly places with the Father. He said, I'm going to call into mind. I'm going to put it, and I'm going to remember the truth in God's word that gives me hope. How many of us can be constantly looking at all the things that steal our hope? All the time. But it's a conscious decision. I'm going to call to mind. What happens? Yet this I call to mind. And what happens? Therefore I have hope. Well, God, I'm going through it. Yes, you are. Call to mind his spirit. Call to mind his promises. Open up your mouth and begin to declare the written, powerful word of God that can rewrite what's in front of you. God can rewrite what's in front of you by the word of God coming out of your mouth. It is powerful. And when you do that, you have hope. And what gets you through the broken season? Hope is the only thing that will get you through. Amen. I'm so thankful for hope in my life. He said, therefore, I have hope. Look at verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. We're going to look at some of those verses in just a minute. But Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, say love it, will eat its fruit. Okay? Death and life, death is in the power of your tongue. And because you love it, you're going to eat its fruit. Let that settle in. He said, but life is in the power of your tongue. And those who love it, you're going to eat that fruit. So what do you have to say? I don't love that fruit anymore, God. I don't love the eating the fruit of hopelessness, of despair, of depression, of brokenness, of low self-esteem, of low value. I'm not going to eat that fruit anymore. I'm going to speak life into my situation, and I'm going to eat the fruit of life. Whew. See, I don't like it anymore. You don't like it anymore. You're not going to eat the things that aren't producing good things in your life anymore. You're going to eat the fruits of the Spirit. Eat the good things of God's Word. I want to bring three truths out of Lamentation. What does a new day bring in your life? What does a new day bring in your life? Number one, a new day brings everything you need. Listen, a new day in Christ, one day, doesn't give you everything you want. Gives you everything you need. God knows what you need of right now. You're like, but I want this, God. And God's like, I want that for you too, but I'm going to give you what you need first. And then I'll give you what you want, because if I give you what you want, then you won't need me. My darkest hours have crawled me to the presence of the Lord. I've got special knee pads for the presence of the Lord in my dark hour. Because I need him. He's going to give me what I need. I need his fulfillment. I need his satisfaction. I need his joy. I need his peace so that I can carry on until what I'm believing for, what I want, comes to pass. Amen. He's going to give you everything that you need. Lamentations 3:24. I say to myself, listen, sometimes you got to speak to yourself. Do you know you're the best preacher you'll probably ever hear? Is you. Some of y'all need to start preaching to yourself. I've been doing it since I could talk in the mirror. I have preached to myself the word of God since I was a little girl, and I still do it today. May not be the mirror, but I can tell you I'm walking in my living room speaking to myself. I'm walking in my dining room declaring the word of God. I speak to myself. I want to eat the goodness of God's word. Amen. What am I saying to myself? The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait on him. The Lord is my portion. What is that word portion there? When you study it out, I found some studies of some scholars, Bible scholars, that said that portion refers back to manna. When God gave the children of Israelites manna that fell from heaven, or bread that fell from heaven, what did God do with that manna? God gave them the portion they needed for the day. Everything they needed was in that day. The life in the bread was for the day. And what did God instruct them? Don't pile it up for yourself for tomorrow. Because what? It will rot. It'll worm up and die away. Why? Because God wants to show you that he is new every morning. He is with you every day. Listen, he's already in your tomorrow, preparing tomorrow for the today. He's always a step ahead of you, amen? He is your portion. He is your delight. He is everything that you need. Matthew 8:6 says, give us today our daily bread. Some of us got to quit looking at the end result and say, today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today my needs are met according to your riches and glory. Today I am the healed of the Lord. Today my children are going to rise up and call me blessed. Today I walk in the favor of the Lord. Why? Because God's already in the next tomorrow. And then I go into that day, but God's already in the next tomorrow, because God is everything we need. Woo, and all I have to do is step into tomorrow. The sun rose today, glory to God. And there may have been some opposition and resistance, but guess what? I'm looking forward to the sun coming up tomorrow, because God's meeting me tomorrow. And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm telling you, God's going to show up on the scene with a miracle in motion. Woo! He's my daily portion. He's everything you need. You need your marriage restored. He's everything you need. You're weak, he's your strength. If you lost your way, he will be the wayfinder. If you're sick, he's the healer. If your finances are struggling, he's the one to bless you. I love this scripture verse, Psalms 3, verses 1 through 3. Oh, Lord, how many are my foes? Poor David. We do feel sorry for David. Many are rising against me. Many are the saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Stop right there. How many feel that way? There's no hope. Nothing can change. People might feel sorry for you. They felt sorry for David. Poor dude out there all by himself in a field with a bunch of stinky sheep. And nothing gonna change for David. Although we know he gets anointed king, right? So something was on the horizon for him. But look at that word. He said, they say this about me, God. Many are rising up against me. And then there's the word Selah. Pause. Take a deep breath. It's a breathing moment. Yes, this is happening against me, but I'm going to stop and I'm going to bring to the front of my mind. I'm going to remember the goodness of my God. You know, it's so hard to stop in your tracks when you're worried. It's hard to stop on your tracks when you're scared or you're nervous or your anxiety or overwhelmed. It is so different. It's like difficult. It's like a locomotion going down the hill really fast. But if you will say la, if you will stop and say, no, I have to reroute the situation in my life. I've got to breathe. I've got to put away people's opinions. I got to put away the soothsayers and the liars and even the enemy against my soul. And I have to step into what Jesus says about it. It's coming at me. You ever had it come at you so much? You're like, I don't even know which way to turn. It's like, God, I got my head above water. I can barely breathe. You think I can't do this anymore? But David went on to say, he paused. There's all this anxiety. Pause, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. Woo, see what a pause will do? You'll realize that God is there in the midst of your pain. His glory is there. His hope is there. A new day with Christ brings you exactly what you need. And listen, what you need is the presence of God. That's it. But I need that. Nope. You need the presence of God. You need to Selah. You need to stop. You need to worship. You need to put on a teaching tape. You need to get quiet if you need to be quiet. Turn off the news. Turn off the podcast. Selah. Even a good preacher cannot give you this quietness with the Holy Spirit. He's the one that can reroute every situation in your life. When you pause, I need his presence. I need his reality. I need his strength when I'm in darkness. I need his power. I need his goodness. Psalms 84:10 said, David said, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. People may want to be king. I don't want to be a king. I want to be in your presence. People may want to be famous. I don't need to be famous. I need to be in your presence. People may want to be wealthy. I don't need to be wealthy. I need to be in your presence. Now, all those things are wonderful, you know, but the number one thing is I need to be in your presence. I'd rather be there one whole day, God, than any position you can ever put me in. I don't need the best house. I don't need the status quo. I need you, God. I need your hope. You're everything that I need. Matthew 6 says, don't worry about your life. Doesn't change anything anyway. Amen? Okay, number two, a new day with Christ gives us the hope to keep going. A thrill of hope where the weary world rejoices. When all we see is darkness in a situation, we have to put our hope in God. Our hope keeps us going. Lamentations 3:25, in that same scriptures we're reading from, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. The Lord is good to you when your hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. And I looked up this word hope, and if you look at just the Webster dictionary, the word is commonly mean like a wish. I wish things were better, right? It's a strength and the strength of my desire. That's my hope. I hope this changes. That's one way that will not move faith. But the way the Bible talks about it is this: hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised and its strength, the hope's strength, in his faithfulness to complete it. That's hope. What did God promise you? He won't fail you. You may have promises from 20 years ago. Keep your faith in that hope. That's the strength that releases faith for the faithfulness of God to finish it. Amen. Can't put our hope in anything. Can't put our hope in the economy. Come on, somebody. Can't put it in the marketplace. It's good. Can't put my hope in it. It might let me down. Can't put it in people. Hallelujah. How many's ever been disappointed by people? Don't raise your hands. Just inside go, yes. They're sitting right there. I don't think it's no mistake that in the center of the Bible, the very, very center of the Bible, it says, better to take refuge in the Lord than put your trust in man. I don't think there's a mistake there. The center of life needs to be our hope in God. The center of everything. It can't be in the perfect marriage. It'll fail you. Can't be in the perfect church. It'll fail you. I know you all love faith builders, but I'm pretty sure there's been situations you felt failed by. Why? Because my hope isn't in things. It's not in the natural. Anything can slip through our hands. But my hope is in the Lord. Hope is in his word. I've been serving Jesus for 34 years, a long time. I mean, my own relationship with Jesus for 34 years. The only thing that's kept me going is the hope of the Lord. Not crossing my fingers and wishing. I'm talking about digging into hope, digging into the wells of hope. Our hope is in him. Listen, when you put your hope in the wrong place, you get hopeless. The opposite happens. Because you're like, man, that's never going to turn out. Yeah, in the natural, you're right. But I'm not putting my hope in that. And then when you put your hope in something else and you become hopeless, what happens? You grow weary. And the weary world, weary. And when you're weary, you can't see any good. It's hard to see good. If any of you have been tired or are right now, you know the lens of good is very small. But the weary world rejoices. I wanted to put up these scripture verses out of Proverbs 13. And I had them put different translations. And Titus, we can just do these two or... Sweet April. Proverbs 13:12 in the NLT says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. It means delayed. Your hope hasn't showed up yet, but it goes on. There's a promise, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. So whatever you're hoping for, a tree of life means it sustains forever. It's a tree of fruit that generations will always eat from. So when you don't give up, even though it's been delayed and your heart is weary, you hang on because that dream will be fulfilled and it will produce a harvest in your life that is unstoppable. Another translation is unrelenting disappointment. Man, I have faced that so many times. Unrelenting, you're like, can it stop, God? And there's some areas of my life I'm so blessed, I don't want to sound like a hopeless pastor to you. I'm just being real that there are some things that just hit and hit and hit in that one area till you're just broken down and you're like, forget it. How many just want to throw in the flag? I'm done tapping out. I'm done. That's what he's talking about. It's unrelentless. It leaves you brokenhearted, but a sudden good break can turn life around. What am I talking about? One day with Jesus. One moment with Jesus can turn everything around. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. But what do we find ourselves doing? We're hanging on to fear. We're hanging on to anxiety. We're doing just the opposite. The word says, hold on unswervingly, relentless to hope. So what we need to do is let go of the things that we're hanging on to. I need to make this work. No, you don't. You got to let it go. I've got to work this marriage out. No, you don't. Let it go. My children are wayward. I got to hit. No, you don't. Let it go. Why? Because I'm going to hang on to hope. I'm going to hang on to the word of God. I'm going to let go of everything that's robbing my joy because I'm fighting for something it isn't my anointing to fight for. And I'm going to put it back into the hope of God and let his word fight for me. Let go. Don't let go of hope. Grab hope. Let go of fear. Let go of anxiety. Amen. Don't ever let go of hope because hope can bring amazing things in the new day. I want to encourage you, the sun will come up tomorrow. Who sang that? Annie. She even knew. Maybe dark for a while, but I want to encourage you, what an amazing day can come with Jesus, a new day. There's a weariness, but there's a thrill of hope. My last point this morning, number three, is what can a new day in Jesus bring? It can bring the help you're searching for. It'll bring the help that you've been searching for. When you're tired, you're just looking for help, aren't you? I'm looking for relief. Somebody take this pressure off me. Somebody take the weight off my shoulders. Somebody take the depression away from me. I'm looking for hope. Lamentations 3:26 says, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Your salvation is here, amen? He has your healing. He has your desire. Psalms 121:2 says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Your help comes from the Lord. I'm going to share with you what a difference one day can make in all of your struggles. Let's just talk about a man named Lazarus. He was dead for 4 days. And then one day with Jesus on the scene. One day rose Lazarus from that deadly grave, brought life, breathed life back into him once again. Everyone else around him was hopeless. Everyone else had settled that he had died. They were weeping in sorrow that Jesus didn't show up when they thought he should show up. And Jesus is like, I know where to be at the right time I need to be. And if it's before it dies, I'll be there. And if it's after it dies, I will raise it from the dead. I know what you need. You know what you want, but I know what you need. I want you to put your hope in me, your faith in me. I will do the job. So Jesus showed up one moment, raised the dead. Woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. You're like, well, PB, I've been facing this thing a long time. So did she. One day with Jesus. One moment, the touch of his garment changed her life forever. Listen, a new day, a new beginning, new joy can change everything in your life. How about the 38-year-old man that was healed at the pool of Bethesda? 38 years sitting by that pool making every excuse why. I don't know. I'm not judging him, Lord. Forgive me. I just don't know. But we know he sat there for 38 years. We don't know why, but he did. But one day changed his life forever. One day with Jesus. Listen, you got to hang on. You feel weary. You feel tired. You feel like you want to give up. Tomorrow, the sun is shining again. Tomorrow is a new day, and God is working on your behalf. It is not a time to throw in the towel. It's not a time to quit. It's not a time to give away your joy. Don't cast off your joy. Don't give the devil your worship, God's worship. I'm sorry. Don't give the enemy God's worship. He don't deserve it. He wants us looking here, looking there. He's distracting us. He's overwhelming us. There's all these rattling things, and we need to keep looking into Jesus, the lover of our soul. All those three, we could have probably named a ton more, had one thing in common. They had an encounter with Jesus. Whew. Romans 13, Ma, you can come up, babe. Romans 13, 11 through 12 says this. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than it was when we first believed. The night, say this, the night is nearly over, and the day is almost here. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Maya's gonna sing O Holy Night for us in just one moment. And I want to speak to you before she sings O Holy Night to us for just a moment. Could I get someone to slide this out of the way for me? this pulpit. Maybe you're facing a season this year of, it's a hard Christmas season. You guys can just keep watching me. It's okay. Thank you. Maybe you're facing this Christmas season that's hard for you. Do you know there's more people that are sad at the holidays than we realize? And maybe that's where you find yourself today. Maybe you're in a difficult situation and you've lost your way. Maybe you've been disappointed by trusting and believing God. But I believe God's going to give you the hope that you need today. And as she sings this song, I just want you to feel the presence of the Lord. I want you to remember, as we broke down this song today, every part, put the Lord in front of you as we sing this, as she sings this. Remember what the Lord has done, the goodness of God's word. Amen. The word of God is effective when you apply the word of God. So, Father, we just thank you for this moment of worship. We thank you for this time that we have with your word. Lord, your word says you wash us with the water of your word. And I thank you, God, that you're washing them with refreshment, new hope, new joy restored, that, Lord, they will leave here changed. I believe that in the name of Jesus. And that, Lord, they will wake up tomorrow singing your praises because of the hope that only you can give to them. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
his blood.